Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life. Well, today I want to start a new series, and it's a different series, but we're going to go for it. How many of you guys have ever heard somebody called a tool? Like you look at this person and you think, what a tool. Anybody ever said it? Anybody ever thought it? Okay, you think about it. You didn't say it, but you thought it. Anybody? Come on, bunch of liars. Come on, raise your hand. You thought it. You thought it. What a tool. I mean, you're thinking, you know, that person is a tool. Here's the thing. You may be thinking, well, what's that mean? And some of you guys may not know what a tool is when it comes to a person. But typically, a tool is someone that's not very well known for their good decisions, right? I mean, typically, they're not very, that's a tool. See, Barney Fife is a tool. Typically, they're not real known for their decision-making. They're probably someone that has low self-esteem, right? They kind of feel unworthy, and they try to do things that make you like them, right? Maybe they're the person that kind of gets taken advantage of. If you've ever had a friend who, you know, again, you thought was a tool, they're the person that you want to take with you because they'll pay the gas money, right? They're the person that you want to take with you because, you know, they'll buy the food or whatever. But here's the thing. And you say, well, why are you talking about that? Well, I know a few tools. And again, you may be thinking, well, that's mean, but it's true. There are some people that try to fit in too hard, and typically they're not very welcome at a lot of places. And again, we're going to look at where that stems from today. But then there's another form of a tool, and that is something that is very useful and that comes in real handy. I've got two types of halters here, and I want to look at these two halters. This, you may be thinking, well, you know, that's not a very important tool, but I don't remember the last time that one cowboy didn't have a halter. I mean, you got to have a halter, right? I mean, you got to have one so that you can, you know, work your horse or whatever. But this is actually, I guess you'd call it a nylon halter. One of my buddies put this nose band on it for me. But this is a nylon halter, and it has obviously a lead rope on it. And then this is a rope halter. Now, for most cowboys, at least myself, I prefer a rope halter. How many of you guys would say rope halters are better? Anybody? Yeah, rope halters. Now, you may be thinking, well, why a rope halter? Well, I'll give you a few reasons why it's a vital tool for a cowboy. First of all, it's good for schooling. If you're training a horse or if you've got a colt, I would prefer a rope halter. And here's why. If you have a horse and you're trying to lunge it around in a circle, a lot of times they'll want to lean against the halter. Anybody ever experienced that? You're loping them in a circle and they want to lean against it. Well, if they have something that's more thick, typically they can lean against it a little bit more. Let's say I push on my horse with my whole hand like this. I can push and they can probably push back a little bit better. But if I poke them like this, guess what? They'll move. And so typically with a rope halter, because it's thinner, because it may have a little more bite to it, I guess you could call it, even though it's not real harsh at all, but typically they don't lean against it as much. It's a great tool for starting colts. Also, if you, like I have a colt, he's probably 5 months old now, and I used this halter on him yesterday. Typically, if you're trying to get a halter on a colt, it's typically a whole heck of a lot easier with a rope halter. You know why? Because oftentimes it'll stay open. When you're trying to put that over the horse's nose, it'll stay open so that you can get it up on their nose. Here's another thing that I like about a rope halter. It's safer. It's safer. A lot of times, if horses can get into trouble, they will, right? I mean, they will. I mean, they'll get hung up on the littlest hook or whatever. Typically, if you get a horse hung up with a rope halter, guess what? You can cut him loose a lot easier if you just have to cut through the little rope right here, right? So it's safer. And here's the last thing. A lot of times, your horse may pull back. If you, and I could show you this a lot better if it was on a horse, but if you will tie this the right way, and you'll come around here and tie this the right way, typically if a horse pulls back, it won't tighten up around where you can't get it loose. All you got to do with a rope halter is once it pulls, if it pulls it tight, all you got to do is push up right there, and then it's loose. So if you've ever had a horse pull back, if you know how to tie a rope halter the right way, then you can pull it loose. For me, this is one of the greatest tools ever invented for a cowboy. And it's, you know why? Because it's so useful. I mean, I can ride a lot of my horses in a halter. I can, you know, catch them with a halter. I can tie up a post, you know, or a gate with a halter. I can do all kinds of things with a halter. And therefore, it's a useful tool. Now, here's the thing. Here's the point of this whole deal. Some of you are here today, and you don't feel too much like the useful tool. You feel like the useless tool. You feel more like the tool in a negative sense rather than the tool in a positive sense. And here's the point of the series that we're going to be talking about. I want to see and I want God to show us how we can go from feeling useless and unworthy to becoming useful and worthy in Christ. That's the point. And so today I want to start this series, and that's what we're going to be looking at. And so I'm excited about it because here's the thing. You may be thinking, well, Bo, I'm not a tool. Negatively, and your friend may argue with you that's sitting next to you. But you may be thinking, well, Bo, I'm not a tool, so what's it matter? Why do I need to listen to this? Well, here's the truth. You know a tool. I mean, you know people that don't have any self-worth. They feel useless in life, and they need someone to speak truth into them so that they can become a useful tool for the Lord. And so you may be thinking, well, why do I need to listen to this? I don't make bad decisions. I don't do any of that stuff. The truth is we've all been a tool at one point in our lives as well. And so that's what we're going to look at today. The key verse that I want to focus on today is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, you can look up on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says this. It says, for we are God's handiwork. Another version may say workmanship or masterpiece, but we are God's handiwork created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's the key verse. That's the verse that we're going to focus on. So let's pray together and ask God to bless the rest of our time. Lord, we just come to you and I thank you that... that we have hope in you and we have our worth in you. And Lord, today, maybe somebody's here today and they feel like a tool. They feel like the person that everybody takes advantage of. They feel unworthy. They feel useless. And they're here today. And I praise God that they're here. Because today they can be set free from the things of this world that the world says maybe they're supposed to be like, or the world says that they are like, and they can be set free from that and be counted worthy in you. And so, Lord, we give you the glory today, and we thank you for what you're going to speak to us today about. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Well, again, how do we go from being a tool negatively to being a tool that is useful for Christ? Number one is this. If you're taking notes, if you have an orange card there, here's number one. We must realize, listen, that we are designed by God. We must realize that we are designed by God. Look at verse 10 again, the very first part of it. It says, for we are God's what? Say it with me. For we are God's handiwork. Do you know what that's saying there? I mean, we are God's handiwork. In other words, we have been designed by God. And you say, well, okay, let's back up a little bit. Why do we feel like a tool sometimes? Well, I'm going to give you a couple reasons why I believe people feel like a tool in the negative sense. Number one is people make us feel that way. Anybody ever had a person that made you feel like a tool? It's okay, raise your hand. Some of you guys had parents that made you feel like a tool. They never encouraged you. They never built you up. They tore you down. They didn't make you feel worthy at all. Maybe you had a brother or sister that made you feel like a tool. Anybody? Anybody? It's okay. I had two older brothers. They made me feel like a tool all the time. maybe you had a brother or sister that made you feel like a tool. Maybe you have a not so loving husband. No elbows, okay? No, not so loving husband or a not so loving wife that makes you feel like a tool. They embarrass you. They're too sarcastic and they make fun of you in front of others. Maybe they degrade you. Maybe you've been abused verbally. Maybe you've been abused physically and it's caused you to feel that negativity. Maybe kids or teenagers, listen, you know the bully at school that makes everybody feel like a tool. They treat them like jerks. I mean, they beat them up or whatever. They make them just feel stupid. Or maybe you have a boss that makes you feel like a tool. Those are a few of the reasons why we probably feel like a tool. Here's another reason, and again, because of the people in our lives that speak negatively to us, consequently, we begin to believe it, right? Some of you guys, when you hear that God say, you are God's handiwork, you're thinking, no, I'm not. He's talking about somebody else. You know another reason why I think that people feel like a tool and in the negative sense? I believe it because we make ourselves feel like a tool. We make ourselves be a tool because of maybe some bad choices that you made or bad choices that we make by trying to live for the world's approval, by trying to please other people. We make ourselves feel like a tool. I see it all the time in relationships, whether in dating relationships for sure. I see it all the time where people, maybe guys, they get something else on their mind and they just, you know, they get lovesick and all that stuff and then they just allow that girl just to play them like a fiddle. Maybe you've seen women that have dropped everything in their life just so that they can be with this boy. And they make themselves a tool by the choices that they make. Maybe you get around certain people, maybe popular people, or maybe people that have money, or maybe people that have, you know, nice things, and you begin to try to please them over pleasing the Lord, and it makes you into a tool. Listen, people oftentimes speak those negative things into our lives so that make us feel like a tool, and then a lot of times we make decisions and we choose to be a tool ourselves. But here's the truth, and I go back to number one. To move past living like a fool, living like a tool, we must know and believe that we were designed by God. Do you get it? We must know and believe that we were designed by God. And you say, well, Bo, where does it say in the Bible that we are designed by God? I want you to look at Genesis chapter 1. We go back to the creation. Look at it. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Did you see that part? How did God create mankind? He created him in his own image. And then Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, it says, God saw all that he had made, and it was what? Very good. Listen, you look at these scriptures and you think, well, what's that mean? So God created mankind in his own image. Here's what that means. You know what God did? He looked at himself and he created us out of his own image. And can I just tell you, God's not a fool. Amen? God doesn't create junk. God is not a fool. Listen, he doesn't just create tools. He creates people that are worthy because of they've been made in the likeness of the Creator God. There's another scripture in Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. It says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you realize that God knitted you together in your mother's womb? He pulled the tissues together. He pulled the cells together. He pulled the hair color together, the eye color. He pulled your brain together. He put it all together. And he designs you just the way that you are. See, again, some people want to say, well, no, I'm not the handiwork of God. I'm the reject of God. I mean, God messed up when he made me. God messed up when he created me. He didn't know what he was doing when he created me. Listen, God created you with a purpose. He created you in his own image. And so if you're going to move past feeling like a tool, guess what? You need to realize that God has designed you and that he created you. And so number one is God, we were created and designed by God. Number two is this, and I'm done. If we're going to move past feeling like a tool or being like a tool, we must realize this, that we are created in Christ. We are created in Christ. And you say, well, what does it mean to be created in Christ? Well, if you go back to creation again, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says this. Look at the screen. It says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Do you see the plurality of that? It says, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness. Do you know what that's saying? There was more than one person there at creation. I mean, it's God talking, right? And so what is he saying? He's saying that there was more than one person because he's saying, let us make man in our image. Therefore, who was there? God was there, Jesus was there, and the Holy Spirit was there. And you say, what does it mean to be created in Christ? Again, if you go back to verse 10, it says, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus. We're created in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Jesus was there when we were physically created. But that's not the end of it. Jesus has also recreated us. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Listen, you know what that's saying? The old self that we were living in before we give our lives to Christ, it has been recreated. In other words, it wasn't just, you know, washed over. It was recreated. He took our old self and he washed it away and recreated us into a new creation. And you say, what does that mean? Paul explains this salvation process and this process of new creation in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Look at it. These are the verses right before our key verse. Listen to what it says. It says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But listen to this. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all he does for us who are united with Christ Jesus. And listen to this part. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done so that none of us can boast in it. I know that's a lot of scripture, but listen, you know what that's saying? When we unite with Christ and make him the Lord of our life, he comes into our life and he saves us and gives us our worth. He recreates us. Many of you guys, again, all of us were born into sin, right? I mean, all of us, when we enter into this world, we enter with sin in our lives. And therefore, we need a Savior. And guess what? Jesus is that Savior. You know, he recreates us. Maybe you struggle with a certain sin. Maybe, you know, you are living in a certain sin. Listen, God, through his son Jesus, can forgive you of that sin. And he can come into your life and he can wipe away that old self so that you can find your worth in him. I'll be honest with you. My marriage, my kids, the horses that I own, the home that I own, all that stuff, they add value to my life, but I don't find my worth in them. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Listen, my value is I'm valuable and I have valuable things like my family and all that stuff, but I don't find my worth in them. You know why? Because my wife's going to pass away one of these days. My kids are going to move out, Lord willing. I'm gonna stop being a preacher, and if I found my worth in being a preacher, listen, I'm going to struggle. I'm gonna struggle. And again, we're gonna all struggle. When our spouses die or when something bad happens, we're all gonna struggle. But if we found our worth in Jesus Christ, listen, we can go through those struggles with him, and he gives us victory because he's given us power over our sin. Does that make sense? And so listen, yes, that's good stuff. Some of you are here today and you have yet to give your life to Christ. And here's what you're doing. You're a tool. You're trying to please the world. You're trying to make the world like you. You're trying to do the things that the world is going to say that you're cool or you're this type of person. Listen, if you will give your life to Jesus Christ, you will find what you're looking for. All the things in the world, the money, all the cars, all the trucks, all the horses, all that stuff will go by the wayside, and you will realize, listen, that you can find your worth in Jesus Christ. When you find Jesus Christ, you not only find your worth, you find your purpose, you find your joy, and you find your reason for existing in this life. That's the truth. And he wipes away the past, and he makes your life new. And you say, well, Bo, how do I start that relationship with Jesus? It's this simple. 1 John 4:15, it says this: if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. You know what that's saying? If you will ask Jesus to come into your life, if you will claim him as the Lord of your life, if you will surrender your life to him, then he will come in and he will give you your worth. Here's the truth. A lot of times I walk off this stage and I don't feel like I'm a very good preacher. A lot of times I walk out of a meeting or I try to lead people and I feel like I've failed. But here's the thing that I can fall back on. My worth is found in Jesus Christ, not what you think of me. Some of you guys need to be set free from that. And I know I have to be set free from that every Sunday almost. But here's the deal. If you will surrender your life to Jesus Christ, he will set you free from feeling like a tool and from being a tool. He can set you free from those bad decisions that you've made, and he can set you free from worrying about what the world thinks about you. So some of you guys need to surrender your life to him today. You need to say, Lord, I want to give you my life because I have been missing my worth. I've been trying to find my worth in my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my husband or my kids or my job, and I'm tired of it. It doesn't fulfill me, and I want to find my worth in you. Some of you guys need to surrender your life today to him. Some of you guys have surrendered your life to him, but you're still living in a way that tries to please the world. Some of you guys feel like it's more important to please others than it is to please God. And you go out and you do things and you buy things or you wear things or you buy more horses so that you can please all these other people or you try to live for other people's pleasure. Listen, you need to maybe be refocused on what is really worth living for, and that is Jesus Christ. And so I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if you feel like a tool. I don't know if you are a tool and you've made decisions that made you look like a tool. Listen, God wants to release you from that feeling, and he wants to make you useful as a tool for him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. The first question that I have, maybe again, you're here today and you've never acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. You never said, you know, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and I want you to enter into my life. I want you to save me from my sin. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Maybe that's you today and you just need to, in your seat right there. And again, there's nothing, we're not going to point you out. We're not going to make you, you know, come to the front. We're not going to do any of that. But maybe in your seat right there, you just need to, you need to confess to the Lord. You need to say, okay, Lord, I am a sinner. And I need you to come into my life and save me from my sin. I need you to recreate me, so that I can wipe away, or so that you can wipe away the past that I've been dealt with, that I've had to deal with, that I've chosen to deal with, and you can make me new. Maybe that's you today. You just need to pray that prayer right there in your seat. Lord, come into my life. Save me from my sin. I want to have my worth and find my worth in you. Listen, maybe you're here today and you're a 50-year-old woman. Maybe you're a 60-year-old man, or maybe you're a 35-year-old young person, young adult. Listen, it's not too late. Who cares what everybody else thinks? You need to give your life to Jesus so that you can find your worth in him. You say, what are people going to think? Well, if you're a tool, if you've already made bad decisions, who cares? Start living for Christ so that he can make you into a useful tool. And so maybe you need to surrender just right there in your seat. And you say, okay, Lord, come into my life. I want to find my worth in you. Maybe you're here today, and again, you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus, but you've not found your worth in him. You know him personally, but you're living for the pleasures of people. You're living for the pleasures of the things of this world, and you're realizing that they're not satisfying. They're not satisfying, and you're not fulfilled. Listen, as a Christian today, maybe you need to refocus and you need to say, okay, Lord, help me to get my eyes on what everybody else thinks and help me to refocus in on what I'm worth in you. And you need to realize that he loves you. You need to accept that love. He wants to forgive you, and you have been forgiven from your past. Maybe you've dealt, again, with some abuse, or maybe you've dealt with the verbal abuse from everybody that you've ever been around. Maybe it's your job that you feel that uselessness. Listen, God can take that away, and he can help you find your worth in him. And so maybe you need to refocus today. Listen, if you are here today, and maybe you just prayed that prayer of salvation for the first time and you gave your life to Christ. Listen, here's what we ask you to do. All we ask you to do is fill out that orange sheet or that orange card right beside you in one of those chairs, and just bring it and put it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you about that decision. It's not to embarrass you. It's not to do any of that. Just throw it in the yellow bucket and we'll contact you. And you say, well, why? Why do you want to know? We want to encourage you. If you've truly surrendered yourself to Jesus, then you will want to tell others about him. And you will want to tell this church so that we can encourage you, so that we can build you up and help you grow in your walk with him. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian. You need to refocus. And you want somebody to pray with you. You want somebody to maybe meet with you, one of our team leaders, or one of myself or my wife or whoever. You want somebody to meet with you, so that we can encourage you. Listen, fill out an orange card, place it in a yellow bucket, and we will contact you and we will get together and pray with you. Lord, I just come to you right now, and I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you that that though we've made ourselves look like a tool sometimes, and though we've chosen that, or maybe we've been just told that by others, I thank you that we can be set free from that and we can become a useful tool for you. And so, Lord, if there's someone here today that feels useless, I pray that you would just renew them. And that if they don't know you personally, I pray that they gave their life to you today so that they can find their worth in you. And Lord, for us that are already Christians, I pray that we would refocus and that we would refocus our lives to be centered around what you think and find our worth in you. Lord, we just give you all the glory and we thank you for today. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, ThousandHillsRanchChurch@yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.